Don't say anything heretical. So I started looking at harvest. And those of you that will have sort of spoken in church before will kind of get this feeling sometimes that everything's coming together. God's drawing things together. And you think, yes, this is what he's given me. Andy's kind of looking at me like this, thinking, I know that feeling. And then sometimes you come to a message and it just doesn't come. And you're like, it just doesn't feel right. I don't know what's happening here. And this harvest one for me was a little bit like that. It just couldn't seem to get exactly what it was that God might want to say. So I started researching harvest, and this is what I found in the Bible. There are three types of harvest. Okay, there's an agricultural harvest. That's the obvious one. It's the kind of, it's the grain, it's the sheep, it's the olive oil, it's the wine, it's all of those things that they were growing in an agricultural society. That was their harvest. Okay? And an example from Exodus is, as you harvest your crops, bring the very best of the first harvest to the house of the Lord your God. They're talking about the harvest there, the actual physical grains and such like. Is that relevant to us? I've left this row blank because you're going to help me by saying whether you think it's relevant to us or not. Do you think that's relevant to us?
Yes.
Yes. How is it relevant to us?
You see, creating tractor loads of stuff being carted all over the place.
Yeah?
Trailer loads, sorry, not tractor loads.
Okay. So it's relevant to us because we need to eat and we still have a physical harvest. Is there anything else that's relevant in that to us? Come on. Working hard here. Yeah, so we can have our own kind of financial harvest, and we can give from that. There's a principle within that if you're getting something, then you should be generous with that. Back to God. Is this booming a little bit? It sounds a little bit funny. Is it? I can stand well away from this. Okay, so then there's a second type of harvest that the Bible talks about. It's booming.
It's any vibration on the, like walking on the ground and stuff, I think, just
all right,
picks
cool.
it up.
Is that better? Is that? Can anyone still hear?
Are you on air or anything else?
Anyone's ears bleeding? Because we've got a vet in the house. He can probably come round and help you out. There's a second type of harvest that the Bible talks about, and it's more of a surprising one, and yet it comes up time and time again. Once you start looking for it, and I'd even challenge you to go away this week, and if you haven't used Bible Gateway before, really useful tool, just plug in on the internet, in Bible Gateway, put in the word harvest, and then start looking at some of the things that come up in the Bible. So the Bible talks about us harvesting life events. It talks about us, if we act in a certain way, we will harvest something. And that could be both good and bad. There are plenty of examples in the Bible of where it says, if you do this, you're going to harvest that. And some of them are good, and some of them are bad. So there's an example from Job. My experience shows that those who plant trouble and cultivate evil will harvest the same. Their harvest will be the result of the things that they do. Okay? So that's the second type of harvest. And then the third harvest the Bible talks about is God's harvest. Oh, we didn't do that. Is that relevant to us? Is that relevant to us, the life events one? Yeah, of course it is. We all know that. We know it intuitively. That even people who've never been near a church know that kind of happens, that if you treat other people in a certain way, then you harvest a certain reaction. Yeah? Okay, the third one is God's harvest. And that's lives. That's what the Bible's talking about when it's talking about God's harvest. That's people. So an example is 1 Corinthians 15:20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. That's God's harvest. When God's talking about harvest, he's talking about not the crops, necessarily. It could be. He's not necessarily talking about the life events. He's talking about people. That's his harvest. He wants us all to be in his kingdom, and that's what he considers his harvest. So you all know that famous part in the Bible in Matthew. It is Matthew 9, where Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, the fields are white unto harvest, is one way of describing it, or the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And he's talking about lives there. He's talking about people. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. What a great title that is for God, the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send out workers into the field. Right, next slide, please, John. Oh, you've gone two there. Can we go back one? I want you now to do a little bit of thinking, because harvest is a time when we can come to God and say thank you for everything that you've given us. So I want you to think, and if you've got a pen to write something down with, or you've got your phone to make notes on, or whatever, feel free to make notes. But have a think about what you have harvested this year. What has God given you, and what have you harvested? And while we're doing that, we're going to put on a little video. This is going to be tricky for John, because he's got to close down this and open up something else. But it's based on Psalm 103. And Psalm 103, some of you may know, says that, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," I've been singing this morning, "and forget not his benefits to me." Don't forget the good things that God has given to you. This is a time to remember what God has blessed us with. So if we can stick that video on, that would be great. Do you think you can? You have to get. Okay, so just have a think for a few minutes while the video plays about what God has given to you that you've been able to harvest this year. Okay, Psalm 103 talks of a good father who looks after us. So, anyone brave enough to share anything they think they've harvested this year that's been good? You don't have to. Oh, go on, Emily, go on. You can come up, of course you can. Yeah, it'd be lovely to see you. You might have to lower the mic a bit, but you know.
Yeah, I found that really poignant actually, because like this time last year I just started a job after being a stay-at-home mum, and I would say that the whole year has been a year of toil. I was also studying, and the harvest was, well, I was having difficulties with my son, and the harvest has been that I've got a qualification now, and lots more knowledge and experience, and with Ollie we've got a diagnosis and lots of support in place for him and his future. And I really think that when I look at it all in perspective, like, times have been really hard, but God was there through all of it, and he's provided over this year, and I'm really thankful for that. So,
brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's great. Well, anybody else burning to share what God has provided for them and they've been able to harvest? You don't have to. It's not compulsory. You don't need to come to church to be embarrassed. But it's if you want to, there's an opportunity. No, just hold it in your hearts then and be grateful to God. Forget not his benefits to us. He's a good father who really cares about us. John, can we go back to the PowerPoint? I know it's a bit of a... It's completely frozen. Don't worry about it. All right. So the next question I wanted us to just consider briefly is... have we ever been disappointed in the harvest? Interesting question, isn't it? Have we ever expected there to be a good harvest and it's turned out to be less than we were expecting? Have we ever thought, I've worked really hard for this and now I'm disappointed that it hasn't worked out the way I thought it was going to work out? That's a tough thing, isn't it? Because we've read, or we didn't read, but in Matthew it tells us the harvest is plentiful. There's plenty out there. The harvest is rich. And it tells us that God is a good father and that he doesn't do bad things for us. He does good things for us. So how can we be disappointed sometimes? I'm going to tell you a little story now about us, or me really. In, you know that alongside the work I do in the church, I've got a business that I work in. When you kind of work in a business, obviously your measure for how well things are going is kind of how well the business is doing financially, and therefore how successful you are, right? That's kind of, if you're not being successful, then you're not particularly doing a good job. And so you work really hard and you strive and you think, I've got to get these figures up and I've got to win more customers and it's got to be like this. And I spend, you know, sometimes I get myself in a kind of right dither where I'm thinking, this isn't going well enough. I'm not doing a good enough job. You know, people are going to look at me and say, you're a failure. Or my business partner is going to phone up and say, well, why haven't you thought of that? Or what's gone wrong here? And all these kind of things. And I strive, and I strive. And really, what I'm learning to do, and what I, you know, say learning, is we're taught this right from the earliest days of our Sunday school, if we went to Sunday school, that all we need to do is go to God, that he's a good father. And when we have him in place, when he's in his right place, then all of that other stuff doesn't matter so much. That when God is my father, when I come to him and I say, God, I'm messing up in this business, I don't know what I'm doing, I look an idiot, I'm a fool or whatever, and he says, it's okay, you're my son. That's the bit that counts, isn't it? That's the really good bit. That's the bit when we have to get that in perspective. So that's my little testimony of when things are going wrong and we can be disappointed in the harvest. What we need to do is come back to the Lord of the harvest and say, let's have you in your place. We can learn a little bit about that from Haggai. Now, I'm actually going to read this, and I'm getting older. Do you know I'm 46 now? My birthday was this week. And I can't read anymore without glasses on. It's terrible, isn't it? I was really proud of my vision. I used to have really good vision, and now I can't read without glasses on. So here we go. I probably can't find Haggai either, but
it's on the screen behind you.
It's on the screen. You can look at it on the screen. I'm going to read it out of the actual real paper, not electronic Bible, if I can find it. It's near the back of the New Testament somewhere, isn't it? Is it before or after Obadiah? Anyone? I can't see you now that I've looked up. Anyone? It's after. Well done, it's after. I found it. Okay. So we're looking at Haggai. Where did I start? Verse 15. His glasses keep falling off. 15. The Lord says, "Can't you see what has happened to you? Before you started to rebuild the temple, you would go to a heap of corn expecting to find 200 kilograms, and there would be only 100. You would go to draw 100 litres of wine from a vat, but find only 40. I sent scorching winds and hail to ruin everything you tried to grow, but you still did not repent. Today is the 24th day of the ninth month, the day that the foundation of the temple has been completed. See what is going to happen from now on. Although there is no corn left, and the grapevines, fig trees, pomegranates, and olive trees have not yet produced, yet from now on I will bless you." What does that story tell us? It doesn't tell us, I don't think, that there's a gospel of health and wealth, that, you know, do the right thing and God's going to bless you financially. I don't think that's the point of the story. I think the point of the story is that it's about hope. That no matter what's gone wrong, if we get God in his rightful place, if we start to build his temple, if we put him first and build his kingdom, then out of that flows blessing. Regardless of whether the stores are empty, God says, "From now on I will bless you because you put me first. You've got me in the right place, and therefore blessing will flow from that." I think that is the point of the story, that there's hope. No matter what's gone wrong, no matter how empty the store bins are, no matter how empty the vats are, if we can get back to God in his place, if we come back to him as our good father and say, "I'm your child, I just want to be in the goodness of knowing that you as my dad," then out of that flows blessing. Out of that comes a good harvest. Out of that does not flow disappointment with God as our Father. So, to close, I wanted to do a little blessing. We've sung 10,000 Reasons this morning, which is partly based on Psalm 103. I wanted us to do this blessing. Can we stand and say this together? This is actually based on the last few verses of Psalm 90. And I just thought it would be a really good thing to say all together, especially the last bit about establishing the work of our hands. So here we go. "Return, O Lord, how long, and have compassion on your servants. Fill us each morning with your constant love, so that we may sing and be glad all our life. Give us now as much happiness as the sadness you gave us during all our years of misery. Let us, your servants, see your mighty deeds. Let our children see your glorious might. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. So like it says in 10,000 Reasons, whatever has passed and whatever lies before us, let's be singing to the Lord of the harvest when the evening comes. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Establish the work of our hands with him in his rightful place. I hope that you picked up the kind of message. As I said, it didn't come easy this morning, but what I really feel God wants to say is that the harvest only counts when he's in charge. That whatever you're seeking is irrelevant unless God is in his place. And that you can seek him and he's ready to be there. He's a good father and he's ready to bless us with him in his rightful place as Lord of our lives. There we go. Good. We're done. Thank you. Tim, have we got a fire song? Okay, we'll do 10,000 reasons.